All of life is best lived one moment at a time. Mm. All of life is best lived one moment at a time. Now, do you know how to live one moment at a time? Have you ever lived a moment at a time? You think you have, but you really haven't. Because we're always thinking what's going to come next, what we're going to do next, how we're going to do it. And just as Sylvia was reading the schedule here, she says, and at 1:30 we clean up. Well, see, I wanted to know whether we had time for our lecture here. And so she was saying lunch at 12:30, and so 1:30, clean up. But what she meant to say was, oh, you've got plenty of time. You've got plenty of time. You just take all the time you want. We're just so glad to sit and listen to you that we just tickle our toes every time we think about you're talking to us. So, all of life is best lived one moment at a time. Now, when Sylvia looked at the program, she saw that there was maybe 15 minutes left. She realized that at 12:30 we started eating, at 1:30 we are to do the other things. And so she was thinking of 15 minutes in there. But then she was thinking of 45 minutes in which we ate and talked. And then she was thinking perhaps of the time that she had in the Swimex before that, which was so much time. And then she thought of the time she spent with me trying to straighten me out and straighten Ellen out on the encoding and on the Norton, stuff like that. And so always, 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 time. And Ingeborg said, I had to go and do some other things. I didn't have time to sit and listen, you know. And you see, we're talking about time. And then Sylvia brings up again, she says, well, if John could have hurt himself, he'd realize that he's a special minister. Now, what she meant by that was, now. But she didn't say that. She just said he's a special minister. Now, we have to put the word now in there. She didn't do that for us. See. We have to put the word now in there. Now, what does now mean? Well, now means close to the moment, but not the moment. Because the moment doesn't have any name, because the moment is just the moment. And the minute we start putting names on the moment, it's past or it's future. And so when we're putting names on the moment, we're having all sorts of problems of knowing what we're talking about and where we're going. All of life is best lived one moment at a time. How do we live one moment at a time? Well, I think what you and John experienced as you went down to Sapphire's house and you saw her living room set up as a place for relaxation, meditation, peace. Probably she lives one moment at a time more than we know. Probably she lives one moment at a time. She had her bad hair day. You know what a bad hair day is? She had her bad hair day and was discussing it with you. And perhaps that was just a rare thing for her. Because most of these folks who have hair like they do, they don't have bad hair days. They have their hair fixed up in a beautiful, fantastic way. Well, what did I just say about Sapphire?
That she lives in the moment.
And what else did I say? Her home reflects it. Her home reflects that. Now, can you imagine seeing her move from that house up to here? It would take quite the stretch of imagination to do that. Because there she has her own house, her own bathroom, her own bedroom, her own living room. She has time to meditate when she wants to. If she wants to do it all day long, she can do it. She doesn't have to bend over for anybody. She doesn't have to live for anybody except her son coming in and out occasionally. But and she told him to find his own place. But can you imagine a person like that coming up here, and or any person really coming up here? And what would they find? When they come up here, the time is not their own. Why is it that we don't have a lovely meditation program like she has for herself? where you can just go in and meditate anytime you want. Just go in and relax and get up when you want, go to bed when you want, and watch television if you want or not, and just have a very wonderful, relaxed program. Why don't we have that? Does anyone know?
Because we are training self-discipline here.
We are training in the now. Self-discipline. I don't have you for long. Oh, you say we've been here for years, but that doesn't mean anything. I don't have you for long. I only have you for the moment. And if I don't succeed in getting across to you in the moment, eternity is done. And it's all over with. But if I get across to you in the moment, then you have the message. Now, what is the message? Be yourself and have fun, yeah. Whole and perfect, yeah. But what is the message? The message is that I am fulfilling the big eight, leading to nine. And what is it leading to?
Discipline.
Leading to.
Oh, leading to unconditional
love. Leading to unconditional love. See, the big eight, all of these tough things, learning self-discipline, all these tough things, being untouched, all these tough things of not judging. See, all these tough things, whatever they may be, not being touched, and dedication, diligence, determination, and all that sort of stuff. That's all learning to be living in the moment and to not have one slight thought about anything else. As I say, I talked with Rhonda, and she went on at length, and I told her that sometimes she kills wonderful relationships by talking too much. If she would just be quiet and enjoy it instead of trying to help anybody. She said, well, I want to help Robert. And I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. I said, Robert is looking for a mama. He's looking for a papa. He's looking for a sister and a brother and an aunt. And he's looking for everything else under the sun, but he's not looking for a wife. Because you see, the minute you take a wife, you put aside your mother, your father, your sister, your brothers, your aunts, your uncles and grandmas and grandpas and stuff like that. You put them all aside and you cleave unto your wife, so to speak. Or your wife cleaves unto you, whatever you want to say. And the two of you now are a six-letter word, starting with an M and ending with an E. You are mature. You are mature. If you get married at 13 or 15 or 18 or 20 or 25, you're mature. You are ready to start out on yourself. Now, Ellen, or whoever said it, what did that young man say in Nigeria? He said, he is not able to do it for himself. He's not yet 25. Wasn't that what he said?
Yeah, he's 24, yeah.
Say what he said.
He said he's looking for a guardian.
He's looking for a guardian because?
Because he cannot do it on his own.
And you see, at 24, to still think that he can't do it on his own, isn't that tough?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, we think 18 is when you're free, you know, and 21 is when you're out on your own, definitely. 18, you might be out on your own, and 21, you're definitely on your own. And so, when a young fellow says at 24, of course, he's from Nigeria, and they may have different expectations for people at of that age, you know. But you got to live in the now, and it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what your expectations of your world are. You just live in the now, and you do a beautiful job, and you have a lot of fun. And you take responsibility. When did you first take responsibility? How old were you when you did the first thing that was really on your own? What you remember? Each of you, think about it.
I think when I got out the first time alone into the forest and so, and I was free to do whatever I wanted.
You were free?
No. I was free to do whatever.
Yes. How old were you?
Probably first year of school.
And when you were just a kid, a five-year-old, maybe?
Five
or six, Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, you see, this is the difference in maturity in people. When did you first take your role in which you felt you were being very responsible?
I would think when I went to England.
Oh, after you were a young lady already?
Yeah, 18.
You were mature. Mm-hmm. Up to that time, you never did anything responsible.
Well, that I wouldn't think so, but I feel...
That was your first feeling of
being totally on my own. Mm-hmm. Making the decision.
We're not talking about being totally on your own. We're talking about doing a responsible thing. Now, for instance, your mother is sick, and so you go in the kitchen and you make the meal. And you're 3 years old or something like that. And yeah, the kitchen is a mess, but you made the meal and you served it. And your dad says, "That's my girl. Wonderful. You are so fantastic." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And your mother says, "Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you very much. My God, who's going to clean the kitchen?" But you see, when you felt that you had made your first step or stride, and that's what I'm talking about. What about you, Ingeborg?
Well, maybe that when there were difficulties with my stepfather, that she did not, my mother didn't want to allow him to give him the proctor for me.
Proper what?
The guardianship for me.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. No? Uh-huh. And there was difficulty. And so she said, "Well, you go stay on your own and in the house."
You?
Yes. But do not come and have contact to him.
You lived a pretty tough life, I must say, which you created, of course. But you see, you matured yourself very early. What year, how old were you when he
first? It was 16, 17.
16, 17? Oh, well then, yes, you were. And what about you?
Well, I remember the first time, really, when I was 14, three.
When you went to, was your little boy?
Oh, that's true, actually. She remembers, yeah, when I was 3 years old and I took the neighbor kid who was even younger than me, and we walked hand in hand off into the world, and they found us way, way away from home. That was probably first time, yeah.
Your first sense of maturity that didn't pay off. And as far as you know, you were way, way off. And where your parents probably found you was maybe a block away.
No, it was really quite far, yeah.
You had a lot of movement in your legs,
yes,
huh?
Yes, we walked amazingly far, yes.
Did you have any sandwiches along or anything?
No. Nothing.
And you didn't prepare yourself to take care of the neighbor kids.
We didn't need that at that time. You just went. It's love and air.
No, I heard of it.
Must have been cute sight. Yeah, that's true.
Well, you see, this is the art of living in the moment and being in the moment. And this is what's called maturity. Maturity is when you live in the moment, when you just feel. You could have been 4, 5, 6 years old, and you read your first book, Mary and Jane, you know, and Jack and Paul or something, you know. But you read your first book, and you took the book after you finished it and closed it, and you said, "Very good, very good. I'm pretty smart," you know. Where you have that sense of well-being. Kids do, you know.
Yeah.
Kids do. Or, if any of you had really been tuned in, you could have said, "Oh, yes, I entertain my little friends."
Oh, I'm a minister.
"I entertain my little friends that nobody else can see.
The invisible ones."
And I saw them, and I knew their names, and I knew where they lived. And they were always there for me because I believed in them. You see, that's living in the moment. And that's really the fun of life, is when you can live in the moment and just have a great time. Well, my loves, you've had it, living in the moment. A diverse picture, but living